Hey there, thoughtful listener. Are you looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients? Well, I've had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders, asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video you can watch with no opt-in required, where I'll share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for over 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Also, don't forget, the thoughtful entrepreneur is always looking for great guests. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. I'd love to have you. With us right now is Julio Martinez Clark. Julio, you are the CEO of BioAccess. You're found on the web at BioAccess LA, and then you have your personal website, which is juliomartinezclark.com. Both of those links to our friend that's listening right now, we have linked in your show notes. You just kind of click around, you'll find where that's it. Julio, it's great to have you.
Thank you, Josh. Likewise.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we get going, by the way, you and I were talking beforehand. You live in Miami and you're now up here. You took the Brightline train. Florida not too long ago installed a semi, not high speed, but high-ish speed train that goes direct from Miami to Orlando. And it's kind
it's
of
high
funny
speed compared to Amtrak, by the way.
What's that again?
It's high speed compared to Amtrak.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Julio, before we get going in that, aside from writing the Brightline and visiting family here in Orlando, what have you been doing for fun lately, or what are you geeking out on?
Well, I'm geeking out on perfecting my paella, actually.
Oh, all right. What's the secret to a great paella? Aside from getting really good non-frozen seafood, that's my, you just have to pay the extra money, get it fresh. But what are your tips?
Get a bigger pan.
Oh, just get more?
Get more, yes. You know why? Because if you make more paella, more people will come and more fun you're going to have.
I love that because that feels like such a Latin kind of piece of advice.
Totally.
I love it. Well, let's talk about the work that you do. Tell me about BioAccess and LA. And by the way, LA is not Los Angeles, it's Latin America. But what is BioAccess?
Well, Josh, BioAccess is the first contract research organization ever to help U.S. medical device startups with their early phase clinical trials in Latin America. Mm. The problem in the industry, in the medical innovation industry, is that when startups try to develop a technology or molecule, call it medtech or biotech startups, they face a lot of challenges in the United States when they are ready to test the safety and efficacy of their innovations in the United States. As you know, what's happening in the political arena with the FDA, the layoffs, the delays that is causing to the industry, the high costs associated with conducting these trials in the US, the reluctance of patients to participate in high-risk trials if they don't have to, not to mention the delays in the large hospital systems in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get meetings with investigators and IRB approvals, all that. And makes conducting these trials in the U.S. very, very challenging.
It
and
is.
Unpredictable. So these companies are pretty much forced to go overseas to explore conducting these trials in Eastern Europe, in Australia, and more recently in Latin America.
So, David, do you mind, or sorry, Julio, do you mind talking just a bit more about how expensive and time-consuming for someone, like they're hearing you say, oh, it's costly and it's expensive if you want to do trials in the United States. Do you mind illustrating that a little bit? People have no idea. So, for example, like I heard I've been following the news on, GLP-1s and Eli Lilly and people are saying, oh, it's so awful that the medicine is so expensive. And I'm like, oh, I know it is awful. But one thing you have to take into consideration is just how insanely expensive it is to bring something to market like a drug. Do you mind kind of, yeah, do you mind explaining that world for someone who doesn't know?
Well, this is a fascinating world that very few people are familiar with unless you're in the industry. And it really starts with universities in the US, where research happens. I mean, universities get these grants from the US government, from NIH. And by the way, the US government is the government that invests the most amount of money and resources in biomedical research in the world, just to remain competitive. And because the US is an innovation machine. So universities come up with these innovative molecules and devices, and they license the intellectual property, the patent, to third parties, which are usually entrepreneurs, people who identify the opportunity, the patent, and they see the potential of the innovation to make an impact in the healthcare system. They contract, of course, a licensing agreement with the university, and then they set up a company, usually Delaware. They raise funds, $2, $3, $5 million, or whatever is needed to get the innovation to a certain point, certain milestones with that money, which usually includes a animal study, all the way from lab testing to an animal study, and sometimes a first-in-human study. So they put together a world-class team of people experienced in developing medical innovations, and they start just working on the development of the device or the molecule, going through the different phases, and they do their animal studies, which are absolutely needed. And then they move on to the human testing phase, which is where a company like us will come in and will help these companies find the right hospitals around the world with the right patient population.
Do you, are there any, what would be the, I guess, are there concerns? And I guess my question is, why do we have to do so much work within the United States that where it's so much more expensive? Why aren't we doing more trials overseas? I guess, there might be some concern over quality or quality control or, just oversight and making sure that everything is adhering to United States standards. Do you mind talking on that?
Yes. The key word here, Josh, is that the FDA wants to see a trial that is representative of the US population. That's the main message. And that involves the right diversity. I mean, you cannot really go to a country like Mozambique and do a trial because it's not really representative of the US population because it's not a diverse society as we are in the US. And they have a different healthcare system. They have different standard of care. You need to have these trials done in places where things are pretty similar to the United States. That's kind of the main reason why trials don't go overseas more. And you usually negotiate with the FDA a percentage of your clinical data that will come from sites, research sites in the United States and sites from outside of the United States. So usually that split, that percentage is 70, 30, 60, 40. I mean, 60% of the clinical data or the sites will be in the United States and 40% of the sites and the clinical data will come from overseas. So that's a negotiation that you do with the FDA based on the technology or the molecule, based on many things. And but that's something that you agree with the FDA team that is helping you with the development regulatory pathway of your device or molecule.
Yeah. And by the way, I shouldn't say, so you, obviously you're doing a lot of trials in Latin America, but you also do work in Eastern Europe and Australia.
Yes.
All of which have significantly faster processes in terms of speed to market. And Julio, for someone as a med tech, speed to market is pretty darn critical. Do you mind maybe sharing a little bit about why speed is so important? And again, we need safety, obviously. However, you know, when we're, I mean, this, these are just very, I mean, these people are, you know, in some cases, you know, people are suffering and dying because available technology is not available to them. And, you know, I'm just such a big fan of, you know, I truly believe that technology can solve many of the world's ills as long as we're doing research and development, you know, at a brisk enough pace.
Yes, yes. Well, the name of the game in this industry, Josh, is speed, as you correctly said, time. So it's important to understand the context of these companies, these startups. They, as I said, they usually start at a university and they're kind of a spin-off. And the startup is no more than 3-5 people in general. And they have investors breathing on their neck for results. That's one thing. The other thing is that these startups are created with one single purpose, which is to get acquired or to be sold to a larger company, Medtronic, Boston Scientific, Johnson & Johnson. So the development is done in such a way that they, the startup is already thinking, is starting with the end in mind. They know that Medtronic needs a product like this, or Pfizer needs a molecule in their portfolio. So they do the development based on the feedback that they get from the larger players. They are usually called strategics, okay? So the strategic will tell the startup, listen, I love what you're doing. I want you to show me that you did a first-in-human trial with 5 patients, with a 6-month follow-up, for example. And if you do that, you're delisting the investment. So I can buy you out because you already went through the risky phase of validating the safety and efficacy of the technology. So I don't have to do that at a good price for your company. So that's usually how it works. So there's a time element involved in all this.
Yeah.
It's a business plan that starts from the moment they sign the contract with the university to license the technology. So they already have some milestones. They already know how much money they need, and they already know when they're going to sell the company to Medtronic. That's why time is of essence.
Okay, so to our friends that are listening, Julio, who should be reaching out? In fact, I have a couple of really good introductions I'll make to you after the show, folks that I've had on this podcast. Who should be reaching out and building a relationship with you?
Anybody who is developing any medical technology or any biopharmaceutical drug that is interested in speed of approval, who needs to validate the safety and efficacy of the innovation tomorrow. That's where I come in.
All right. And what do they do? And by the way, you've got a couple of websites. Obviously, there's bioaccessla.com. And then there's your personal website. And Julio, what would you recommend next steps be for our friend that's listening to our conversation?
Just go through our website. There's a great blog section where they can learn about the different regulatory approval timelines and processes in different countries around the world. There's an option to schedule a meeting with us, and I'll be the person to attend that meeting initially. The initial conversations I usually handle with potentially new clients. And also, I am widely available on LinkedIn. I'm very active on social media, LinkedIn more specifically. I have over 30,000 followers. So just Google my name or just put it into a LinkedIn search and you're going to find me.
Excellent. All right. So Julio Martinez Clark, that's your website, juliomartinezclark.com, for those who want to connect with you personally. To our friends that are listening to this podcast very intentionally because you're searching it out and you wanted to learn a little bit more about BioAccess, you just simply go to bioaccessla.com, click on book a meeting. Julio, great conversation. Please do enjoy the rest of your time with your family here in Orlando.
Absolutely, Josh, I will.
Thanks for listening to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. If you are a thoughtful business owner or professional who would like to be on this daily program, please visit upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program every day. Together, we are empowering one another as thoughtful leaders. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this program, if you're looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients, I have had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video that you can watch right now with no opt-in or email required, where I'm going to share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for more than 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Make sure to hit subscribe so that tomorrow morning, that's right, 7 days a week, you are going to be inspired and motivated to succeed. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you for around 15 minutes every single day. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Movement.